Aloha. Welcome to KKCR's Talk Story. Talk Story, or Vala'au in Hawaiian, is roughly translated as reminiscing and communicating. This series, Kahanauna Ho, The New Generation, offers Talk Story with Hawaii's modern musicians. Utilizing his master training in the tradition of Hawaiian slack key, Makana incorporates the freedom of open tuning to create music that spans genres. At the age of 26, Makana is considered one of the greatest living players of slack key guitar. He has released 3 albums, toured throughout the world, and opened for musicians such as Sting and Santana. In this special Talk Story, Makana shares his stories and his music, some of which has never been recorded. Join me, Jessica Dofflemeyer, in this Talk Story, Kahanauna Ho, with Makana.
On the pane, cecil beads and mill picture stain, shimmer on the blue ocean turning gray, Venus and the sky turns to clay, daylight is fading. Are drifting by, never to the same, fleeing from a sky set aflame. Spirits of the time sets another pace, evening strikes the coup de grace. Time, two worlds become one. Inside every breath, underneath the dance of life and death, herein dwells the friend, breathing into being, the symphonies of light for all to see. Sky serenade. Thank you. western sky.
My roots come from deep tradition. I learned from the masters of an art form called kiho'alu, Hawaiian slack key guitar. It's indigenous to Hawaii. It's over 200 years old. Roots back to when whaling ships and the Spanish brought the guitar to the islands. And a style was developed that allowed a single player to simulate multiple instruments, incorporating melodies that not only were traditional from chant, but had come from the influences that continually barrage the islands, so to speak, over the past 500 years. The amazing thing about this expression of music is it has this feeling through sounds that really expresses what it's like to be in Hawaii. I feel like at the end of that song, you could hear the little slack key in there, and it's like, say that you have a kitchen and this great chef working there, and he has all these great spices and he makes all these wonderful dishes. And then a friend comes to visit and he says, I just went to this island in the middle of the Pacific and I found this great spice collection for you from this island. It's only from this island. It's only found there in the whole world. You've got to taste this. And he tastes it. He goes, oh my goddess, this is the most amazing flavors. I'm going to add this to my collection. It will be a new color for the palette when I paint with the flavors that we have to work with. And so that's what I see happening with Hawaiian music. As one of the kupuna had once said, you know, what Hawaiians will contribute ultimately to humanity is their genes into the mass gene pool and all of that mana that comes through the DNA and the energy of the spirit as it merges with people. In music, I see the same thing happening. And I feel that Hawaiian music has that power just by its essence. It's so pure. It's so genuinely authentic and expressive of where it comes from. And ultimately, in the next generation or two, I see not only musically, but the energy of Hawaii and its cultural expression being infused into the world scene of artistic expression. So it's going to play a big role. It already has. 100 years ago, Hawaiian music was the first world music craze, and Hawaiian music was the largest selling genre of music in America in the early 20s. So I see things coming full circle, but in a more expanded manner.
So you're going to go on a world tour yourself?
I'm on a world tour. That's what brought me to the planet.
Are you going to be taking your music out to other countries in the near future?
Yes. I'm totally committed. My life is committed to sharing this music. It's a gift, and that's what makana means, gift. And it's a gift that is given. Another analogy I like to use in painting the relationship for people is, if there's a great chef in the kitchen, I'm the waiter that brings the food to the table. It's just all being created, and it just comes through.
That's great, because when you used the metaphor earlier about the chef, I'm like, oh, so you're the chef. But you really see yourself as the waiter.
The servant.
You've been serving and being available for some new music to come through. So you want to share another one?
Of course. There's plenty to share. One of the ways I see slack key or Hawaiian kiho'alu, Hawaiian slack key guitar, contributing to music on a world scale is through the use of open tunings. And there are many genres and cultures that already incorporate open tunings with the instrument. But to take it to the level that I'm working with now, which is every song has its own tuning. I could talk about it, but you know, as a listener, can feel the energy that surrounds each song. It's like kind of like when you're with, if you're with your partner and then you're with your accountant, you know, you're not going to be the same way. You feel a different way being with different people when you're playing with your dog or when you're watching the sunset alone or if you're swimming with dolphins or whatever you're doing. You're present with that and tuning to a different tuning for each song, which is something that originated or is very unique to Hawaii, is an amazing opportunity to really portray musically the message that you're putting out there and to surround the song with this vibration that is so conducive. It's beyond words. Playing kihualu, playing slack key, and having the style rooted out of that, where there's total freedom on the guitar to just tune, that has taught me so much about life. I've spent so much of my life tuning in, literally. And the metaphor that I see, you know, sometimes I wonder, like, why was I given this mantle to carry on of this amazing art form when there's hardly anyone in the world who plays it, this Hawaiian slacky guitar, this cultural heritage passed on down to me from Uncle Sonny and from, you know, the masters. It feels like slack key is a metaphor. Slack key, for those of you who are new to the art form, it's literally slacking down the strings. It's loosening them. And if you've been to Hawaii or you live in Hawaii, it's that feeling of just, you know, relaxing things and opening up for things to flow through. And that's what it really allows to happen. I'd like to share another new song. This is called 18.
Come so far, riding on the waves of uncertainty. From a world bizarre, colored with the sadness of their broken dreams. So long, searching for a reason to explain it all. Now I must be strong, standing like a pillar as the others fall. Now, oh, it's over now. Before my eyes, then I see your face asking me to hold you like a little child. Oh, let me hold you now.
Beautiful.
Thank you. I love singing that.
I could feel that moving into adulthood, that transition, and seeing the quote-unquote bad stuff and wanting to go back to that security.
Mm-hmm.
As you were singing it, I actually was getting feelings about what's gone on in the last few years with the United States of America. As an artist, you have such a power to change and have effect in the world. So I just wondered if you had some thoughts with where the state of our world is and maybe where you fit in with all that.
I do. Through all of the filters that we are run through when we're raised and we're born in society and the media and our peers, our parents, our elders, our teachers, our leaders, all of these things that we're taught take our minds and they put them smaller and smaller and smaller, and the realm of possibility shrinks all of a sudden, and now not anything is possible, and all of a sudden death becomes a scary thing and security becomes a very valuable thing. Helen Keller said that there is no real security. She talked about how a person could spend their whole life in a room locked away and die sooner than a person who lived in the Amazon jungle. It's an illusion, but it's an illusion that is sold as the highest commodity. And it's sold in exchange for things that we value less in an ideal sense only because of fear. And one of those things is freedom. Just like using the slack key in my music, the freedom that it allows me. And most of the guitar players in the world at this point play in one tuning, standard tuning. There are always people that come along and innovate, and people that come along and go a little further, and we stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. So it goes beyond what's personal. But I think that music has this power to, beyond cerebrally, it has this power to communicate freedom. It gives people a feeling of being free. And that's what I plan to do, is use music to inspire people, to move beyond their fears. When we realize that we have power to create anything and our lives are not in the power of someone else, and our lives go way beyond this body and this world. As long as we fear, we can be manipulated. And letting go of that fear is a process that goes beyond reason. It's a process that goes beyond logic. It's not something that is a sure thing. The nature and the beauty of this world, if we can see it, is the uncertainty.
So when you face uncertainty, where do you find the strength in dealing with that fear?
It's the opposite of everything we've been taught. When one is threatened, the evolutionary response is hard, tense, yang, defend, power, strength, rise. And yet to surrender is so powerful. I like to use this analogy. If a person is standing in chest deep water and a wave comes and rolls over them and they lie back and they surrender to the wave and it rolls over them, it just passes them over. It doesn't have to knock them down. But if you take that view of watching that person, pretend that you have this angle of perception from under the sand looking towards the sky, and you see the man's feet, and the feet are right above you, and the wave comes across from the bottom of your vision up, and as he surrenders, he actually stands up. Changing the perspective, surrendering is like being lifted by a greater power. It's like letting go, and it's such an empowering thing, because the power isn't our power. The power is accessible by us. It's within us. And that source of strength, in a nutshell, is love. Love is this boundless energy. It's right here. It's always here. All that you have to do is allow it to be your guide. You don't have to go looking for it. There's no searching to be done. It's like a surrender. It's a letting go. And when we play music, that's what we do. We just let go.
Such a fool. I forgot the golden rule. Now it's all coming around like an empty room. Echoes the sound to hurt your heart. I did my best, but when my words hit your chest, I felt them flow right through from you to me, like I was throwing stones. Rose petals fall to the floor. There's a pain inside she can't ignore. Anger filled tears over him. She wants that boy to feel what she feels. She's all alone, she wonders why. But even though she can't stop crying, compassion finds a place within her heart. She knows there's no use in throwing stones. I had a Seem so different, we're mostly the same. Yet the people who fall through the cracks become the target of our attack. Separate ourselves from them, dehumanize our fellow man. Only our love can show us we are one. Until then, we're just throwing stones ahead.
Return to Kauai Community Radio's Talk Story, Kahanauna Ho, with Makana after your station's identification.
This is a song that was written about a place, Ihiuka. Ihiuka means, Ihi is a spiritual feeling or a very sacred feeling, a mystical feeling. Uka is the uplands, the Uka. So Ihiuka is this very sacred place in the uplands, in the mountains.
Thank you.
by destiny or whatever, I don't know what process, I've been able to connect with some of the great legends, especially in Hawaiian music. Of course, my kumu, Sonny Chillingworth. And this past November at the Hawaii Theater, I had the guests Tao Moy and Bill Tapia. Tao Moy has always been one of my heroes from when I first read about him when I was young. A little background on Tao. He's originally from Samoa. He came to Hawaii when he was 6 years old with his family. By the time he was 20, he was already on tour. He toured for 60 years. He was one of the first Polynesians to travel the world with his ohana, his family. Probably one of the first Polynesian families that people saw with their own eyes. Tao Moy is the oldest living steel guitarist, also the oldest living recording artist for Sony and Decca Records at this point. He's a sweet, sweet man. He speaks like 10 or 15 different languages. His daughter, Dorian, she cares for him now, and they all traveled together. She was born in India when the revolution was happening to oust the British. She doesn't like me to say this, but you know, King Farouk of Egypt, as well as Aristotle Onassis, proposed to her when she was like 13. And they've met people all over the world. They played for famous people such as Gandhi and infamous people such as Hitler. A side note that that inspires me more than any of his other accomplishments was his involvement during the Nazi takeover of Germany and Europe. His family risked their lives to help to smuggle out Jewish musicians out of the country, and they helped a number of families. After the war, they dedicated a long period of time to donating their performing services to raise money for reconstruction of many of the places that they had developed a relationship with throughout their touring. I just love the humanitarianism of that and how Tao has been involved and, you know, giving to communities around the world through Hawaiian music. He said, I've been to every country in the world except for Sudan. Something happened, like they wouldn't let his wife in or something. What an amazing person, 96 years old. And he got up on stage and he played. Bill Tapia, another legend, he is a kolohe in the classic sense. He is such a rascal. He has outlived four of his wives, his daughter. He's looking for his next wife right now. He wants to, and I quote, I'm looking to start a new family. And that's what he said at my concert. He saw all the pretty ladies. I asked him, well, you know who Gabby Pahinui is? Gabby being the greatest legend of slack key guitar. He said, Gabby? I taught Gabby how to play jazz guitar. He used to play that slack key thing. Yeah, Bill played with the likes of Louis Armstrong and Lady Bird, you know. He's a treasure. Having them on stage, I became kind of like a host, and I took a back seat. And I'm thankful that, you know, I'm only 25 now, but I've had so much time on stage, 18 years on stage. And to watch them do it and watch how, you know, they were like, Hawaii Theater, I played here when it opened. And Bill was like, hey, they used to show funny movies here, you know. To see these two legends of Hawaiian music on stage together just brought tears to everyone's eyes. And at the end, I could not get Bill off the stage. He would not leave. It was really a classic scene. We actually had chairs from the movie South Pacific. Actual chairs that were used in the movie. We ended up improvising Aloha Oi. And finally, at the end, he was about to do another song. And five songs over already. And I whispered in his ear, Bill, they're about to close the theater. We have to go.
Oh, okay.
You know, I love it. It just totally destroyed the concepts of age. And that's what was the power, you know, going back to what we were talking about, the power of music and art. Here's an example of two people who have transcended, and their very presence inspires other people to transcend.
I remember days when we would jam,
songs echo the stories of our land. Sitting on a lanai in a leeward town, sounds of Kiho'alu would be found. Oh, my friend, how I miss those days. How I long for the older ways. I remember friends who've come and gone, those who've shared with us their songs, those who seem to know nothing of this land, but learn with an open ear and a helping hand. Oh, my friend, how I miss your smile. Can you stay for a little while? Vale oe kukumu, ae ho ae vaiva. Where are you, my beloved teacher and cherished friend? Ehi vaiva, paha oe makaleva. Perhaps you are cherished within the universe. Ao nui a oe. Meka poinga ole. You will not be forgotten. E ola mauana komele kaulana. Your songs live on forever. And oh, my friend, how I miss your face. I do believe you're a gift to this place. Yes, I do believe you're in a better place. That was a song written for my kumu, Uncle Sonny Jillingworth.
Do you find that there are expectations on you to stay within traditional Hawaiian music?
I have to follow my true nature. I have to. I don't have any other choice. If I don't play the music that comes through me, naturally. I am not shining in my fullest potential. And if I'm not shining in my fullest potential, how can I really serve? I have all the time a deep gratitude for the audience. And I'm very, very blessed where almost all of the time my audience is very receptive and open. And I've cultivated an audience like that by breaking the rules, by taking huge risks.
And that takes a lot of fearlessness.
Oh, totally. There's no other way to live. Otherwise, it's just kind of like half living, you know? I just read a great book called The Fifth Sacred Thing by Starhawk, talking about fearlessness and fear itself. The interesting thing about control through fear is it has to do with limiting the agreeable options. If people don't think that they have any other options, then of course it's scary. You know, how can you have a revolution when you've got to pay the car payment? If people can be shown, and if the resources can be created and the system can be nurtured where there is sustainability enough for a culture, for a society, that's something that is powerful. The truth is that we are all connected. We are all interconnected. And just as the Hawaiians saw nature not as some inanimate, separate resource to be plundered for our own benefits, rather nature was something to be revered, and we had a living relationship with it. We respected it. There was balance. There were laws to keep that balance because it meant life or death. And because of industry and things, you know, we've become separated from that whole process. And I think, aside from what we've discussed today, I would say the other most important element that is missing in radical change is a true knowledge of history. Hawaii is an amazing microcosm, you know, with the integration of different cultures and peoples and lifestyles, all in this hugely geographically isolated, you know, little landmass. And sustainability is the key to our survival. More so even on a timescale than other places, because we're an island. The question for me is, what drives us in life? You know, is progress, why is progress valued so much? And what's so important about acquiring things? Is there any other way? Are we curious enough to wonder? And can we learn from the past? Because the roots go on for centuries, and they offer so much information into what works and what doesn't. And yet, in our time today, there's no connection there with that. And like I said before, keying people into history and what really happened. And what really happens, not even in the past, but happens in the world today, is so important. My friend and I wrote this song. It's called Driven, and it's the story of four people who are affected by that thing, whatever it is, that thing that drives us. Our soil was deep, the water was clean, 100 generations. The village would farm all that we needed, a self-sufficient nation. Then foreigners came, lusting for oil. They paid and armed the government to displace our tribe. We fought as we could against rockets and bombs, in flight to the forest, so many died. From Africa to leave war behind, take refuge in America where justice is blind. Small jobs abound, my used car fills with gas. I try to forget my homeland and no one ever asks. Driven by this power, can you see? All I ever wanted
it was to be free.
I wake before dawn in my one-room house, my family still asleep. To the border I hitch, cars line up for miles, moving forward at a creep. On a good day, I'm across by 8. Boss takes half my pay if I'm a minute late. The factory churns out goods I can't afford. That my visa's renewed, I pray to the Lord. One day I'll just stay. Why must I go back? The cash I send home will make up my family's lack. The hill of that border, its inequality spreads deeper and deeper into each society. Driven by this power, can you see? All we ever wanted was to be free. I did okay in high school. I was taught to fit in. That life is just like sports. My parents bought me to a top business college. I made friends on courses and courts. Now my life is the corporation. Profits are high, competition fierce. Accountancy is tricky, we avoid liability. The corporate veil is hard to pierce. But I wonder who benefits. Disability make it right. We pull the strings around the globe. Economic scale equals might. I can't bite that hand so long as it feeds me. Moral discomfort aside, I embrace complacency. Driven by this power, can you see? All we should want is to be free. To learn survival games. I didn't know who made the rules. Had to dig in the dump and bathe in the streets. Ever since they closed down my school, my mommy had no food after daddy stepped on a mine. From years of malnutrition, my body ran out of time.
Producing.
driven.
What does freedom mean to you?
Yes, my favorite question in the whole world. What is freedom? Freedom is being able to see things as they are. Being able to transcend and go beyond or let fall away the filters in the mind and have true clarity and to be able to act from that place or to not act. To totally be free of all of the beliefs, of all of the agreements that are imposed by living in this world. My favorite saying in the whole world is, a mind opened by wonder or closed by belief. And so freedom is being free from the illusion of self also, and being free from concept. That's freedom to me. Freedom to be whatever arises from within. Some friends of mine turned me on to an amazing Zen poet by the name of Paul Reps. He had very few belongings. He traveled the world with just a backpack. He always had his board, which was his desk that he sat on his lap, and some paper and brushes and ink. And his last belonging was his canteen of green tea. And back in the time of the Korean War, he was in Japan, and he went to the Korean consulate to get a visa to go and visit a spiritual teacher. And he was informed by the consulate that he could not enter the country. No one could, because the war had just started. And so he went into the lobby and he sat down and he pulled out his brushes and his board and paper and had his green tea there. And he drew two brush strokes in the shape of a cup or a bowl. And under it he wrote, "Drinking a bowl of green tea, I stopped the war." The consulate came out a few minutes later and he was curious. And he looked over at Rep's shoulder and he picked up, he said, "May I see that?" And he looked at it and it hit him so deeply what was on that piece of paper that he gave Paul Reps an extended visa. I put the words to music. This is kind of like a Zen poem to music. Drinking a bowl of green tea, I stopped the war. Drinking a bowl of green tea, I stopped the war. Drinking a bowl of green tea, I stopped the war. Drinking a bowl of green tea, I stopped the war. So what does that mean? Drinking a bowl of green tea, I stopped the war. How could one stop a war by drinking a bowl of green tea? A friend suggested one meaning was the feeling of stopping that war inside of us. And the action, whether it's drinking a bowl of green tea or stepping outside and having a breath of fresh air or disagreeing with something on the news, by stopping the war inside, we take action. And of course, feel free to interpret it however you like. That's the beauty of it.
KKCR would like to thank Makana for sharing with us in this edition of Talk Story Kahanana Hole. Interview, production, and editing by Jessica Dofflemeyer. Engineering by Brett Rouse. Mastering by Dean Rogers. Talk Story was recorded in the studios of Kauai Community Radio and is the third in a series produced by KKCR. For more information about this program and Kauai Community Radio, you can visit www.kkcr.org or call 808-826-7774. Funding is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Ahui ho, until we meet again.